the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
See, I'm giving up. I don't know where you are. Where are you? All in black clouds come over me. They darken my skies. This is how I look at things. To give me a new eyes.
Do you or someone you know suffer from addiction? While many of us have an addiction to something, we have few places to turn to get the help we need. Welcome to Addiction in America with Rebecca Bullion. Learning about addiction and that you are not alone is the first step in getting things back on track. Our show will bring you to that first step and much more. Now, here is Rebecca Bullion.
Well, hello, listening audience. This is Rebecca Bullion, and you've joined me on Addiction in America on Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. And today I wanted to do a little bit of a different format. I invite callers to call in at 866-472-5792, but I'm going to have just a general what is spirituality and recovery talk. And I've got my friend John Blunt on the line. Hi, John.
Rebecca, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good. It's a rainy day here in Nashville. And how are you?
I am absolutely wonderful. It's a rainy day here in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Roll Tide.
All right. Well, I've got orange blood, so.
I'm sorry.
Anyhow. Hey, John, just
to
kind of, I don't have a bio to read on you, but tell the listeners about yourself and who you work for.
All right. My name is John Blunt. I'm a recovering person. I work with Foundations Recovery Network. I have been with Foundations for almost 4 years now. Foundations is an alternative to traditional treatment. We've been around for about 17 years now. And what makes us, separates us from traditional treatment is that we take a more holistic approach in that we address mental health issues coupled with the addiction issues and address both issues simultaneously.
All right. So, you know, I want to talk some about what some of the treatment is that you do at Foundations, but can we kind of weave that in? Let's start with talking about what is spirituality, and then we'll kind of get to some of the things, some of the ways that people exercise spirituality in recovery, and then you know, some of what y'all might do at some of your treatment centers. So I wanted to kind of go through just some general literature, and I just want to claim a tradition which is no one person speaks for AA, so whatever is said here today is just the opinion of the speakers. Okay. All right. So today in Keep It Simple, which is a nice daily devotional book, it talks about, I was looking at November 4th before, but today's December 4th, John. We were going to talk about November 4th, which I liked, but anyhow, December 4th. The measure of a man's real character is what he would do if he knew he would never be found out. We must live our new life all the time. This is what the 12-step means by practicing these principles in all our affairs. We try to be honest all the time. We don't cheat, and we tell the truth when asked a question. We learn that even if we can get away with something, we can't get away from ourselves. This makes our lives so much easier. Our relationships and our spirituality get built on solid ground. We also come to trust in ourselves. We depend on ourselves to do the right thing, and we do. How nice it is to count on ourselves. Prayer for the day. Higher power, make me strong enough to practice the 12 steps in all my affairs. Action for the day. Have I done anything that's bothering me? If so, I'll set a time to talk about it with my sponsor. The two of us can figure out how to solve it. John, tell me a little bit about what you think about that progression of no matter how far down the scale you have gone, you can still come up, and how that is a spiritual experience.
Well, first, I believe Hollywood Henderson said it very simply. He said, you know, it's about doing the right thing even when nobody else is looking. You know, in our addiction, we learn to keep secrets and to sneak and connive and manipulate. And that produces all kinds of problems within yourself, along with the circumstances or obstacles that it creates with family members, employment, school, whatever. It causes all kinds of problems. Learning to live free begins with learning to live free with yourself. As we go down the ladder of addiction or slide into that bottom, quote, bottomless pit and eventually hit a bottom, I believe that the bottom actually opens up to a point where we scream help. And that's where I believe the beginning of all spirituality starts. And when we become receptive to receiving some help, whether it be from a higher power or other people who have experienced the same, same problems in their life,
Let me jump in there, John.
All right.
I was reading through some literature from As Bill Sees It, The A Way of Life, and what you're saying reminds me of something on page 17, Toward Honesty. Bill says, the perverse wish to hide a bad motive underneath a good one, and that permeates human affairs from top to bottom. This subtle and elusive kind of self-righteousness can underlie the smallest acts. And learning to spot, admit, and correct these flaws is the essence of character building and good living. So, live in the truth, living with integrity, living with integrity. I think as addicts, we all cover up, lie, cheat, and that's what people see. They see the character defects, and a lot of times they don't call it suffering, but that was the point that you just left off with, is that when we cry for help, we usually cry from a place of pain. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
What is happening to, in your opinion, a person's spirituality when they get into that pain and they get into that dark place? How does that happen?
I think spirituality is a cry from one's inner soul to become different. When we start realizing and experiencing powerlessness, and a lack of control or unmanageability, real simply, you know, people tell bunches of lies, and it's hard to keep up with the lie that we've told to the person about what we lied about. And that creates all kinds of problems, and that makes our lives unmanageable.
Well, you know, I think we might have a caller on the line. I'm on a landline today, and so I was just wondering if there is a caller on the line.
Hello?
Hello. This is Rebecca with Addiction America. Who am I speaking with?
It's Anna.
Hi, Anna. How are you doing?
I just want to ask what the basic difference you think is between Christianity and AA. I know both of them seek spirituality.
That, you know, that's a good question. And, you know, I know that with the roots of AA, the original Oxford group, what I've heard is that it started out based on Christian principles.
Yep.
And but Bill W. knew that most alcoholics wouldn't swallow a bunch of, you know, church stuff because they've probably already been preached to a ton, and it had to be formed in a way that they could accept. And, you know, that I think that's the root of AA. And if you read, I mean, if you know the Bible, then you know that 12-step principles are also, they overlap with Christian principles.
Oh.
It's just that, I think the definition of higher power is open to God as you understand him instead of that one, you know, God of the Bible. Does that give you a little bit of...
I do understand what you're saying. You know, I never really was a big drug addict, but I was a pretty good drinker, and I got involved. This is off the subject, but I got really started developing my spirituality, and I started going to what I call, this is a different subject, holy roller churches.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can get such a rush from that experience that's better than anything I ever got from drugs or alcohol. But, you know, people say the sweat lodge thing is great, and they say the New Age thing is great, but they laugh at Christianity and all the crazy churches when they get sensations. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever heard of that before?
It seems in a way
that's
like...
That's a different subject.
Well, you know, we humans all tend to judge each other. And I think that that takes away from the unity of mankind when we judge each other in a negative way. I think it's good to stay open-minded, and I think that means also to stay open in a spiritual sense. You know, principles of acceptance, goodwill toward, you know, your brother, no matter where he is in his spiritual path. And I guess the Bible would say, you know, have patience, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is a good spiritual principle. But, you know... I
guess I'm saying it's a real experience that we have in those churches.
Absolutely. And this is where the value and wisdom of AA's 12 steps comes into play when they say, God, as you understand him. The understanding that you have of God is intimate with you, just as the person who is experiencing God in a sweat lodge or any of the others, it opens the door to where God is accessible to all mankind.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no particular, no one has kind of cornered the market on God. God is in everyone and in everything. And AA says, what works for you is good for you. We're not going to condemn or condone that, but we encourage you to continue on the path that you're on.
Yeah.
Jennifer, can you tell me just...
It's Anna. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Wrong. Anna, can you tell me a little bit, I mean, just to kind of let you speak a little more, what are you getting at that is working for you there in that experience?
You're saying at church or at AA?
Yeah. Where's the, because in the God that, you know, we all understand, it has to be a God that works for us. It can't be a judgmental, punitive power. It has to be loving. What works for you there in that?
You're saying exactly what it is. It's a loving God. It's a God that I came to believe the higher power, which for me is Jesus, who can't, well, I believe that he has the strength to pull me through things when I know I have no power of my own. I get that out of church. I get that out of AA. That's basically what it is. That's where I would tie the two of Christianity and AA in together.
Because
I'm looking towards something stronger than me. I've never been one who thought I was a winner.
Yeah,
you know, I always felt like a loser. But when I think there's something bigger than me.
Mm-hmm. What were you saying, John?
She's just done a very good job describing the first three steps, recognizing our powerlessness, coming to believe in a power greater than ourselves, and deciding to follow that path or that leading of a higher power.
You know,
and that's
John,
the foundation
a,
of what AA is built
question,
on.
Like an analogy, like what I'm kind of hearing here is that spirituality could seem like a shopping trip. Which outfit do you buy? Which one is going to fit for you? And which one is it, will the real higher power please stand up? You know that show from the 70s?
Yeah.
That was it called to tell the truth or something?
Yeah.
How do people decide which one is the real one? Well, I think my experience is that, like, God meets people where they are. And that, you know, people walk in the rooms every day and they become a miracle because they open themselves up spiritually and somehow God is meeting them where they are, and it's a progression. It's a spiritual progression into, from, let's say, milk to meat. And, you know, we may put God in a box of he can only meet you here in this place right here, but, you know, he's bigger than that. You know, I used to, you know plenty of people that were hunters, and they'd go out in the woods, and that was their spiritual experience, and it really worked for them because somehow it got them in tune with the expanse of the wholeness of God and the whole universe and all the beauty of the creation. And, you know, when we talk about character defects, I remember hearing a sermon once or something where, you know, the verse that was quoted was, we're supposed to worship the Creator and not the creation. When we are steeped in self, we are worshiping the creation, and we are stuck in our junk.
Ooh,
and there's many methods to pull us out of our junk. And I think that is what spirituality is.
Absolutely.
In many
very
ways.
Good.
I love the open discussion that we're having. Anna, is there anything else that you want to say about, you know, what you've been through and what's worked for you?
I think you said it all. I think the how you mentioned people go hunting and they're in nature because they can grasp the nature and something's bigger out there than them. I also think it's just the silence that they feel out there where they can get in touch with themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is, to me, also part of AA, because you get in touch with yourself and your feelings once you start working through the steps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think step 4, 5, 6, and 7 are basically the concept of, you know, confession, repentance, and changing.
Mm-hmm.
Repentance is like to turn from. Step 4 and 5 are, you know, take your personal inventory of your wrongs, tell it to someone else, be ready to have God take it away and ask him to take it away. But there's one more step. If I just say, God, please take away my character defects, I got to do some footwork in there, you know? And so there is one piece in there, which is practice integrity. Practice, you know, daily good living. And that is my part, my footwork to do.
Very good.
Can't remember whether it was Bill W. or Dr. Bob, but they both, and one of them said, AA is a spiritual kindergarten.
Yes.
And it's a beginning. It's a place for someone to start, to grow.
Absolutely.
And develop spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Once you start, it's a natural progression. My understanding, my beliefs of God, a higher power, have changed over time. And that's what Christianity is about. It's not about you start at one spot and you're going to stay there. God doesn't want us to become stagnant. He actually, if you read all of the stories of the Bible, people go through a progression with their understanding and love of God. Jesus, whatever you want to say, that understanding and that progression continues as we practice spiritual principles, love, honesty, integrity, those things.
I'm going to jump in, and I'm going to read page 3 from As Bill Sees It. It's entitled Pain and Progress. Years ago, I used to commiserate with all people who suffered. Now I commiserate only with those who suffer in ignorance, who do not understand the purpose and ultimate utility of pain. Someone once remarked that pain is the touchstone of spiritual progress. How heartily we AAs can agree with him, for we know that the pains of alcoholism had to come before sobriety and emotional turmoil before serenity. And then there's one more comment. Believe more deeply. Hold your face up to the light, even though for the moment you do not see. When I was steeped in a lot of pain, I sure don't see it as a purposeful thing, or that it's got, ultimate utility. But I guess that's just life's condition, is that God allows this pain in. Why, God, why? There's just so much painful stuff out there, and that gets into a whole lot more deep thinking. But people do have to come to grips with, why is pain allowed? If he's a good God, why is that? And I think that's where people can get confused in their definition of God. Like if he was a good God, he wouldn't allow all this stuff. And, that's a whole other show. But just to trust, just to trust.
The pain I've experienced has brought about every experience of pain has broadened my understanding and ability to be compassionate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the values, and that's what they're talking about. I didn't understand until I hit bottom what a bottom was. And as a result of having, quote, hit a bottom, and I've hit bottom in a number of different areas, not just in drinking or drugging, emotional bottoms, on and on. The list is never ending, but it allows me an ability to understand where somebody else is coming from and to relate to them on a deeper level.
All right. Hey, I know we need to go to commercial for a minute here. So let's break, and we will be back. If you want to call in, it's 866-472-5792. This is Rebecca with Addiction in America.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Please visit Rebecca's website at www.addictioninamerica.com to get more information on today's show, our guests, and other resources. The website contains a bookstore of material by various authors, musicians, and instructional videos to download. Applications for case management, referrals, and intervention can be made through the bookstore as well. Be sure to visit addictioninamerica.com. Addiction in America is here to help you take control of your life. The website again is www.addictioninamerica.com.
Want to know what's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America Talk Radio Network host? How about what's new with our network? Make sure you check out the iRadio blog, a look at what's hot at Voice America and beyond. Visit www.iradioblog.com today. Get the inside scoop on every channel on our network, including breaking news, featured guests, blog posts from our hosts, and much more. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter for even more inside action. Visit iradioblog.com today and stay connected.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to Addiction in America with Rebecca Bullion. If you have a question or comment about our program, please send an email to Rebecca at addictioninamerica.com. Again, that's Rebecca at addictioninamerica.com. Now, back to the show.
All right. Well, thanks for rejoining. And I'm here with John Blunt, a friend from Foundations. John? You still there?
I'm still here.
All right. Well, I think Anna, our caller, dropped off the line, but I wanted to continue on with this conversation. And in reading the literature from As Bill Sees It on page 5, maintenance and growth, it is plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that we permit these, do we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile? John, what's your feedback on that?
Don't do it.
Don't let resentment, resentments kill us. Don't take it. Bitterness.
Resentment is the number one offender. It kills more alcoholics than anything else, and this is our refusal to let go of anger, and anger becomes a resentment, and it just, it flowers and grows, and it begins to overtake and overwhelm us unless we're willing to let go of it. And it blinds us from seeing our part, and it's part of the denial. I do not want to be responsible or accountable for any of the things that happened to me. It's a whole lot easier for me to attack and say, well, Rebecca didn't treat me properly.
Right, and you know, that brings, I'm thinking of the word indignation, which kind of ties in with maybe grandiosity as a character defect, because, you know, if I am indignant, then somebody has done me wrong, and I can't see my part. I don't have a part. I'm a victim. Victims are powerless. Everybody's doing something to them. And, you know, it's amazing when you start talking about this stuff how, like, character defects and concepts kind of bleed one into another. But resentment is bitterness, isn't it? It's hate.
Yeah,
it's hatred. It's like a progression. Like, I start out irritated, I get resentful, I get angry, I get, you know, hateful, and then I'm steeped in it. But resentment is a killer, like you said.
Yeah, it can start off and it multiplies. It can be something as simple as, I was not acknowledged, this person didn't say hello, and then I let my magic magnifying mind and imagination run wild, where all of a sudden this person has come and attacked me and my livelihood and everything about me before I realize it. And it's a very dangerous thing, but it can, we forget, actually over a period of a short time, we forget the simplistic whatever it was that was done to us. Most of the time was something very simple, and we've allowed it to just run rampant through our lives, and we've distorted it into all kinds of different visions.
Yeah, let me finish reading this on page 5, Maintenance and Growth, from As Bill Sees It. It says, but with the alcoholic whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of harboring resentment is infinitely grave, for then we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the spirit. the insanity of alcohol returns and we drink again, and with us to drink is to die. I love that phrase, the sunlight of the spirit.
Absolutely. You know, our problems are of our own making. We don't like to do that. Which is a relief when you understand what's meant by the sunlight of the spirit and what they're talking about. If someone else is the problem, I'm going to be in trouble. If I'm the problem, then that allows me the opportunity. That means I am the solution, and I have no control, and I'm powerless over other people, but I can do something about my attitude and the way I react to different situations. So, in turn, I become the solution.
And I think that, like, what you're saying, it reminds me of, I wanted to kind of weave in treatment techniques that you guys might do at foundations, treatment centers. When we say we play a part, that's in our, I think, our adult life and certainly in our youth, but you guys treat dual diagnosis. You guys treat trauma where people have been victimized where it wasn't their fault. And those are two separate concepts. When you are in a powerless position, ultimately powerless, and somebody does something wrong to you, like when you're a child, you don't have that power, we have to validate that was wrong and it should never have happened, and you don't have a part in that kind of trauma, that kind of experience. But when it comes to being manipulative and trying to make it look like a certain way, like we're good and someone else is bad, we do have to own our stuff on that. Do you agree?
Absolutely. You know, bad things unfortunately exist. And evil
exists. I was reading in the paper today. I mean, people are getting worse. This is just scary. I know the paper only prints the bad news, but, you know, some guy who's in Pittsburgh, who's a elementary school music teacher goes and shoots his wife during a church service while she's playing the organ.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Hey, you know,
The article didn't talk about why. I really hope that there was a drug explanation in there, but what if there wasn't?
Yeah. And you don't know. I was speaking with a young man last night who was at Virginia Tech when they had that mass shooting here a few years back. And he was an innocent bystander, but he experienced a tremendous amount of trauma, and it wasn't his fault, and he didn't ask for it, but it was just one of those situations that life presents to us. And those are difficult things, but this is where the value of realizing that there are people out there that can help lead to a happier life. And, you know, some issues are not made to be resolved, but they are made to allow us to live peaceably and comfortably within our own skin.
Right.
And that's where spirituality comes. We go back to the integrity and the honesty, and it becomes about me being able to live with myself. And if I can live with myself, I don't have to find ways to medicate my feelings.
Right, right. And so all those feelings, people just have a buildup of negative feeling. And this is where I think that spirituality and God relieving us of pain, if, you know, that's where people become miracles. Somehow they're able to just let all that stuff go. I mean, sometimes it takes work. Some people have more stuff than others, but some people can just kind of let it go and progress on, and, you know, it's amazing. It's amazing when you see somebody who has been through just a world of hurt and they can turn it around. And I think people are resilient.
People are, it's amazing what people can endure and learn to live with. From a biblical standpoint, and you probably can help me out here, I think it was Paul who had to live with, quote, thorn in his side, and he had to continue living with this, quote, thorn in his side. It wouldn't be removed, but he learned to live with that, become productive, and to live with that peaceably.
What is the question? What was the thorn in the side? Have you heard anything?
I don't know what it was. That's what I remember about it. But he prayed and asked God to remove it, and God said, I'm leaving it there for a purpose. And he had to endure, but he stopped suffering with it and learned to live with it as a fact of life. People have certain incidents that, you know, are just absolutely atrocious that happen to them.
By their own hand or not.
And on the other hand, some are not, but it's where those incidents are not the controlling factors in our lives today.
You know, maybe those painful incidences, maybe one of the reasons God allows it is so that people will seek him. And on page 7, in As Bill Sees It, talking about the realm of the spirit, it says, we have found that God does not make too hard a terms with those who seek him.
Seek him, right.
And it's, you don't have to fit into all these prefab, preconceived rules. There's a lot of room in the spirit realm.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, I myself am alcoholic. That has not been removed. I get a daily reprieve. I still have to live. I'm just as close to a drink today, long-term sobriety, versus the day that I got here. It's not been removed. I've not been cured of my alcoholism, but I have been able to, quote, recovery has given me an opportunity to where I have a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition.
Okay. We've got a caller, Carl, on the line. Carl, are you there?
Hi. How are you, Rebecca?
Hey, Carl. How are you doing?
All right. What's going on?
I'm just here with my friend John Blunt, and we're talking about spirituality and recovery. This is Carl the Knife Thrower from East Nashville. I love East Nashville. There's just such a wonderful bunch of folks. And Carl is a professional knife thrower.
Hey, don't throw one my way, Carl.
All right, not a problem.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. I'm in Florida at the moment.
Okay.
So things are well.
Listen, what have you to say about this issue of spirituality and recovery? Our theme.
Well, I don't know if I have a specific definition of spirituality, but I think that the manifestation of spirituality is empathy.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And that includes everything. You know, I think every step we take during the course of a day, and we can determine whether or not that step was motivated by empathy.
Yeah.
Empathy towards one another, empathy towards the planet, empathy towards ourselves. And almost all of the ills that I see in the world, whether they're economic or violent, most of them can be cured with just simple empathy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's good. I like that. I like that. Have you written any songs on that topic?
Well, I have a song called Love is a Verb.
Oh.
And and it's on my last album.
What was the title of that album?
Songs of the Open Road.
Oh, yeah. You gave me that one. That was
good stuff.
What's your website?
And in fact, website is carlash.com.
Uh-huh.
And that song was recorded with a whole host of East Nashville players.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. I remember that.
Joni,
are you coming back in May?
I am. Every May.
All right. Well, you always make the coffee shop a lively place.
I'll be having breakfast at the Bongo Java's.
All right. Well, Carl, I thank you for your comments. I think we're going to have to wind it down. We're kind of getting close to the top of the hour. Can I talk to you later?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
All right. And thank you for calling.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. Hey, John?
Yep.
All right. We've had fun today with our callers.
It's been good.
Where were we in talking about?
Nail on the head. Life, love, and laughter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's talk a little, just for a second, about your treatment centers and what you guys do, what kind of things you do to treat trauma and, you know, some of the spiritual stuff that you guys do for recovery work.
All right.
In addition to the steps.
Actually have a trauma track. People experience grief and loss issues that can create trauma in their lives, along with just major traumatic issues, either childhood, adolescence, or in their adult life. And trauma takes a number of different faces. We integrate that into 12-step principles. We use motivational interviewing techniques. And I like motivation. It's meeting the person where they are. And very
roll
simply,
with resistance.
Very simply put, it's kind of like sitting down, a recovering person sitting down and having a cup of coffee and talking about their life with their sponsor or a close friend. And it's a very non-confrontational type of therapeutic approach. And the person is able to progress through the 5 stages of change. And as they progress, we've integrated 12-step principles into all of this, but we allow that no one has cornered the market, so to speak. So we're not, nobody's going to get bashed for saying, I don't want to fool with 12 steps, and some people do. That's fine with us. Our whole point, and what we like to achieve and what we view as recovery, is life, love, and laughter. When we can go back and we can learn to laugh again. Most addicts miss that and have not done it in years. And real recovery happens when you can experience a good, solid belly laugh.
I know. That's motivating.
And when we start laughing again, we start becoming grateful for our lives and the way it is, and we stop fighting, and we have actually begun to surrender, which, you know, if I'm not fighting, life is a whole lot smoother to go by. And that doesn't mean that I just, surrendering is an act that doesn't mean I just give up. It means I become open to different avenues.
And maybe turn from some things that just
turn
aren't working.
Away, yeah.
Turning from stuckness.
Right.
And being stuck in the past is stuckness, because nothing's going to change about it except the way you feel and the way that you cope with it.
And we start getting some traction, and lo and behold, we progress.
Yeah.
And my views and my understanding change, and I become a different person, and my reaction to life becomes different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, listen, I want to give a plug for the Foundation's toll-free line. It's 866-872-4038. That's 866-872-4038. And I know that you guys help whoever calls to find the right treatment center for them or the right help for them, yeah?
Absolutely.
And you've got how many treatment centers under your umbrella?
we have three treatment centers. We have La Paloma in Memphis, Michael's House in Palm Springs, California, and the Canyon in Malibu, California. And we have an intensive outpatient office in Atlanta, Georgia.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good, good. Okay, well, I just wanted to make sure and let the listeners know. I think we're let the listeners know, you know, what's available out there with foundations. And, John, you are you the regional marketing director, the marketer?
Southeast Regional Senior Business Develop. I'm the person that you call if you need some help.
Okay. And that's John Blunt. Okay. Well, you know, I appreciate you being on today, and I think it's been a lively discussion. And we could just go on and on. But I think we're coming up to the top of the hour. And, yeah, I got a couple of minutes there. And so I wanted to mention the services that I offer on addictioninamerica.com, which is my website. I'm offering case management and some intervention services, limited intervention. And so if people want to go to www.addictioninamerica.com, send me an email. And you can also send an email about anything on any of the shows we've had. And that would be Rebecca@addictioninamerica.com. And next week, I look really forward to having CeCe Knuckles on. And we're going to have some friends join him. And we're going to talk about his latest book, The Egoless Self, and some issues about self-development and recovery and spirituality and how it all ties in. So look forward to that one next Tuesday. John, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Rebecca. I enjoyed it. You're doing a wonderful show.
Okay, well, I'm enjoying it, too, and we will talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Bye.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to Addiction in America. Please join Rebecca Bullion again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Central Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, and 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Until our next program, have a good week, and may you be one step closer to conquering your addiction.
I'm having a hard time just trying to understand all the suffering, the misery that man goes through.
Please visit Rebecca's website at www.addictioninamerica.com to get more information on today's show, our guests, and other resources. The website contains a bookstore of material by various authors, musicians, and instructional videos to download. Applications for case management, referrals, and intervention can be made through the bookstore as well. Be sure to visit addictioninamerica.com. Addiction in America is here to help you take control of your life. The website again is www.addictioninamerica.com.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.